Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's Word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the Word with us.
I've been speaking on different sermon topics the last few weeks and from the Sermon on the Mount. And it's just so vast. And as we have our vision this year on the new covenant, it's important that we understand the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, we have to understand some of what was being taught. It's just a powerful, fun, real teaching by Jesus. It's the longest teaching from him consecutively in all of Scripture. And he's setting up with his people, that's us, what it means to live in his kingdom. And his kingdom is based on him coming. Yeah. So Jesus is saying, this is what it means to live and operate in the new covenant. Everything Jesus talks about here is basically upside down from the way the world defines things. It's not the way the world saw it. The first we taught on was the Beatitudes, and it's the way God's people are blessed, and it's different than the way the world sees it. It's just different. Then he goes right on to defining identity. Man, our world has a real struggle with identity. Yeah. We're in an identity crisis. Jesus, a long time ago, settled all this. Here's what my people are. You're the salt of the earth, and you're the light of the world. And he just said, this is who you are. And so he didn't give you a choice. If you're going to sign up for kingdom living, this is how you live. Yeah. There's not an option here. We are to slow the moral decay. Salt does that. We're to preserve righteousness. Preserving is what salt does. So he defined that for us. And he says, let your light shine before men. Yeah. Let your light shine. Well, I want you to know that if your light is shining before men and it's not because of Jesus shining in you, then you're going to only define yourself and it's different than the world sees it. Matthew 5, a lot of hard truths here. So I want to warn you up front. Toes will be stepped on. Because mine have been as I've been studying this. And I really, really like to get this all figured out before I delivered it. But you know, when you read the word, there's some correction that always takes place. There's some things that happen and you're like, okay, I know that I needed to hear that. I just don't know that I wanted to. So most today will be challenged, but once again, all of this is to bring change. That's what God's word does. It brings change to our lives. Jesus is beginning to confront everyone with the teaching that they needed to hear. And once again, it's not what they really wanted to. He comes after religion and religious people. He comes after the non-religious. He comes after the casual followers, and he also comes after the deeply devoted followers. All of these, he's trying to establish a new way of thinking. It's a new way you need to think here. And he starts in what I want to talk about today with one of the big controversies of that day. Big controversy. A topic that was highly debated in that day. It's still probably one of the biggest debates in all the Christian realm. And it's about the law. It's about the law. How many know that law can be controversial? And some of you are going, absolutely, because I don't believe that we should be driving 55 miles an hour. We ought to be driving. He's not talking about that law. He's not talking about the tax laws that we all disagree with. He's not talking about any, what, or hopefully we all. Anyway, that's not the law he's talking about. He's talking about the law of Moses, the sacred text from the Torah. We call the Old Testament the first five books. Okay, so Moses had delivered to God's people the law. Moses went up on the mountain, receive the Ten Commandments, and then Moses comes down and gives the law to man. Their thinking at that time and their understanding of that time was that the law was given to help people live like God was asking them to live. Everybody goes, well, I get that. Well, so then Jesus does what Moses did. He goes up on the mountain, but he didn't go by himself. He took the people with him.
Yeah.
And so Jesus goes up on the mountain, and he continues to give an understanding to people of what God wants to do in their life. Why did he go with people and Moses didn't? Because, see, Jesus was offering no separation. Moses was the only one in right standing to be able to receive from God. Jesus saying, y'all come on up. You can all receive. Because of me, you get to receive from God in a way that you've never received before. So the people are up there and they're thinking, okay, Jesus came to change the law. But that wasn't his heart.
Right.
See, he was coming to abolish the old way of doing things so that you could understand real kingdom living. You could understand citizenship in the kingdom. You could understand that he was setting up a new way of kingdom life that was different than what the Old Testament or the five books at the beginning that they understood from. It was going to be different than that, but it wasn't to do away with it. It was to make it make sense. Let's make this make sense. And we have to be careful today not to think the same way that they were thinking. Just believing, okay, well, this is what he must be talking about, so now the Old Testament doesn't matter anymore. And we have different denominations out there that don't ever refer to the Old Testament at all. We're a New Testament church, so they don't ever refer. You have to understand the Old Testament to be able to receive the New Covenant. Matthew 5, verse 17. Y'all with me? Here we go. Jesus says, don't misunderstand why I have come. Why would he say that? Because people do. They don't get it. Jesus says, don't misunderstand why I've come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. So if you ignore the least commandment and teach others to do the same, you'll be called least in the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. But anyone who obeys God's laws and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying, don't think I came to abolish what all you have learned your whole life. Think I've came to accomplish the purpose of all you've learned. Every law you have read, he's saying, every law you've read is about me. It's about me. And you need to understand that. Everything about the law was pointing to Jesus. He fulfilled and accomplished it all by his death on the cross. And he was trying to say, watch what is getting ready to happen. Because it's all going to make sense. See, we celebrate last Sunday and every day in the life of a Christian what he did that we could not do.
Right.
We didn't have right standing over sin to die and pay the penalty, the death penalty that was needed. We couldn't do it. So Jesus did it on our behalf. He fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law. He is the embodiment of the law in a person.
Yeah.
And he's explaining this here. And he is saying every part of the law is not gone.
Right.
And this is really cool because then he explains it all. See, the law's not gone, it's fulfilled. It's made possible for you and me to have direct access, not based on a law. And you've got to know that even though it's not based on a law, you don't change any part of the law.
Yeah.
What do you see? You don't even change the smallest detail.
Right.
Now, I want to dive in there for just a second. They understood what he meant when he said, can't change the smallest detail. The little markings, there was little markings on the word, on the text. And these little markings made that word pop and made it make sense to them in their definition. So they put little marks on words that would change the meaning of the word to mean exactly what was being said. And what he's saying is, you can't change one, and they call those iotas. You can't change one iota of this word. Because if you do, it'll change the meaning. And the meaning can't be changed. See, and so you have to understand that if you're changing one bit of the meaning and you're teaching others to change that, then you're the least in the kingdom of God. The greatest are the ones who speak it specifically and don't miss one little point.
Wow.
It's a big deal. And then he goes on to say in verse 20, but I warn you, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. These are strong words from Jesus. He is saying, if you try to water down or lessen these laws, like we see culture doing right now, oh, come on now. I mean, people trying to make this all law. It's just more relaxed. Jesus didn't really mean that. Jesus, it's all covered by grace now. The law doesn't apply anymore. Well, then why did Jesus say what he just said here? Obviously, it's applicable. Jesus is saying, that's not what I'm saying. It's important that we don't twist words. And it's important today that we don't twist words. In the Hebrew and the Greek, if they changed just a little bit, then they would miss the meaning. Are you getting it? We have a lot of people doing that and calling themselves Christian. Just change this a little bit to make it fit for us. The scribes and the Pharisees were masters at this. And they would have been listening. And when they heard Jesus say what he said, kind of a big deal. Hey, unless your righteousness is better than the righteousness of the teachings of religious law and the Pharisees, you won't enter the kingdom of God. They're like, that's right, that's right. Because we've got it figured out. See, they were thinking when Jesus said that, man, somebody gets it. And he's saying that they need to pay attention because we're at the top. And unless they can do it like we do it, you know that's what they were thinking. The problem is it was a short-lived thought. But there for a second, he had them hanging on every word because they thought they were good because they kept the law. The law was their master. The law was their teacher. Jesus was saying, yes, the law is a teacher. Absolutely. But not to teach you what you've got to do to make it in the kingdom, but to teach you what you can't do. Jesus is saying, you can't get that. The religious leaders, the Pharisees, all these people, unless you can do it past what they're doing it. See, the law was their God. And when they kept it, in their mind, it elevated them to God's standing. It just elevated self. That's what it did. And church, today, you need to hear me. That's what legalism does.
Yeah, it sure does.
When you elevate yourself above someone else because you're living a life like they're not living or they're trying and they just can't, they ought to just watch me. That's self-righteousness. And you have to understand, elevating people based on what they do is not what mankind does. We only are elevated because of what he did, not because of what we do.
Yeah.
We have to understand this. See, not only did the scribes and the Pharisees have the law, they would add things to it. They were the ones that were adding little iotas. By the way, let's do this. Let's do this. 10 laws were brought down by Moses. 10 laws brought down by Moses. And those 10 laws became over 600 laws. How did that happen? Scribes and Pharisees. As you read the New Testament, you see Jesus confront these all the time. Well, give me an example. Okay, I will. You keep all the dietary laws Jesus is talking about. You make sure that you only eat certain things and you only eat them in a certain way. These are the laws you set up because I'm telling you, it is not what goes into the body that defiles a person. It's what comes out of the body. See, Jesus was addressing this all of the time. He was trying to get them to see, you've taken this to a place that I didn't put it. And you're trying to meet all these demands. I have relatives very close to me that try to meet all these dietary laws because they want to be in right standing. And they never will get them met. They'll read every label to make sure whatever they buy at the store doesn't have this in it. Because if it has pork or if it has, then we can't eat this. I'm telling you, you go to Jerusalem and you will find all the time different things that they've posted that says this right here you can eat and this you can't. It's all over the place in Jerusalem. On the menus, they have dietary restrictions to meet law. So this is nothing that was just then. It's still going on. Right. Now, in our culture, we may not be as aware of it, but I'm telling you, you don't have to talk to someone very long to find out they're still operating by a lot of what Jesus fulfilled. Jesus also said, he gets on to the disciples, you didn't wash your hands properly before you ate? Why do you keep trying to cleanse the outside when you haven't cleansed the inside? See, Jesus, the point that he's trying to make here and address is the problem with humanity tends to be is that we want to keep things on the outside right, what everybody's seeing, but he's trying to deal with what's on the inside. It's what's on the inside that he's trying to get them to see. The law was only there to let you look good to everyone else on the outside and feel good about yourself on the outside. And what he's saying is, we've got to address some inside issues. The law, I heard it best said like this, the law is like a muzzle on a dog. Now think this through. Why do you put a muzzle on a dog? You put a muzzle on a dog so it won't bite you, right? That's the only reason for a muzzle, that is to keep the dog from biting you. Well, when you are around a dog that has a muzzle and it's looking at you and it's growling, you're grateful for the muzzle. I want you to see what's so wild about this. You're grateful for the muzzle, but if you were to take the muzzle off, what would happen? You're going to get bit. So that's what the law was doing to people. They were still growling on the inside. They still wanted to live their way. They still wanted to bite. They didn't like the muzzle. They didn't like the law. So to do away with it would be a great thing. Let's just abolish it. No. The muzzle is like the law. And until you change the heart of the dog, then you'll have a requirement of a muzzle. We've got Christian men and women that are trying to live by a law, and they're not worried about what's in their heart. And so I want you to see that. Jesus explains to the Pharisees, to many from that day, that he's teaching the same thing from the beginning of the sermon to the end of the sermon. He's teaching an inward examination of the heart, not just outward modification of behavior. You don't just modify your behavior and get your heart cleaned up. You get your heart cleaned up and then you modify it. Your behavior will get cleaned up if you get your heart cleaned up. See, and Jesus is beginning to confront the law. He doesn't relax the demand on the law. He actually raises it. It's amazing. He's saying, we got to move from the law to the heart. See, that's what the new covenant this year is about. It's not giving you a bunch of 1-2-3s about how you have to live. You get your heart and then you want the 1-2-3s. You sit in church and I can't take enough notes. Why? Because my heart's been changed. I'm in love with Jesus. I can't wait to live according to what he wants me to do. I'm so excited. Tell me how to do it. Or you can sit there and go ahead, tell me again. Just on my case all the time. I'm not stepping on toes. Jesus is saying, get your heart fixed. These aren't 1-2-3s that you have to live by, but you'll want the 1-2-3s when you get your heart fixed. Boy, this is great. The Sermon on the Mount is so good. He raises the bar. The Pharisees were all into this message until he gets to this point. They're all in until this point comes up. Jesus is going to raise the stakes, and he's going to see that people need to get to a place where their heart is going past what the law was producing. He gives 6 examples here. Just being straightforward, this is where it gets very challenging for us today. Everybody can probably agree with everything I said up to this point. This is the part where we're challenged. This is the point where, frankly, you're on your own. We're not all jumping in this together. This is teaching specifically to our individual hearts. And he teaches on 6 topics. He teaches on anger, adultery, divorce, vows that you make, revenge, and your enemies. Whew, tough topics. And for the sake of time, I probably am not going to talk on all of them today. But these are big topics. He gives the example from what they knew the law said, and then he moves them into seeing what the heart should do based on the law. If I came to fulfill it, then we just don't have to meet this. Our heart takes us to a whole other place. Yeah. It's really cool. Dealing with heart issues. I want to remind you, these are the words of Jesus, not Ashley. He goes on here to show us what he wants versus what they wanted. In verse 21 of Matthew 5, Jesus says, "You have heard that our ancestors were told, you must not murder. If you commit murder, you're subject to judgment." Jesus said, "But I say, if you're even angry with someone, you're subject to judgment. If you call someone an idiot, you're in danger of being brought before the court. And if you curse someone, you're in danger of the fires of hell." I was good with just don't murder. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, that's what Jesus was addressing here. Wait a minute here, you've just been living by the law and you think you got it all figured out. And he's saying, no, this is a heart deal. This is a heart deal. We can all do that. Hopefully you're here today and you haven't murdered anybody. We all got that one. But careful that we see that Jesus said, here's what I'm telling you. From your heart, be careful about getting angry towards someone. Careful about calling someone an idiot and cursing them. See, they're thinking, I was good with just don't murder, but every time he relaxes one of the requirements, okay, this requirement's not as big, this requirement's not as big, all of a sudden the judgment gets higher. Why? Because he's dealing with heart issues. He's not setting down legalism. He's setting down, here's what you need to ask your heart. You got to deal with this in your heart. Murder and anger, you're judged. Calling someone an idiot, or that word in the Greek means empty-headed. You just don't have any brains. How about that? Then cursing someone. You're in danger of hellfire? When murder, I'm just being judged. But I'm not even talking about murder. I'm talking about just cussing. Now you're in a bigger judgment for cursing someone than you are not killing them. Did you see that?
Yeah.
It's like, good grief, I had never saw that before. That one popped out at me and I thought, man, I've got mad at a lot of people. I've got to deal with that. Why? Because there's an extreme judgment on you being mad at people. Ooh, wait, this is getting more legalistic. No, how do I deal with that? I get my heart right. See, I'm not trying to fix the outside. I got to fix the ins. Jesus is addressing some things and saying, you can deal with this. That's why I have come. He's saying, that's why I'm here. There's an issue in your heart, and Jesus is saying, I'd rather you take care of that issue. Let's keep reading, verse 23. So if you're presenting a sacrifice at church, at the altar, in the temple, and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifices to God. When you're on the way to court with your adversary, settle your differences quickly. Otherwise, your accuser may hand you over to the judge, who will hand you over to an officer, and you'll be thrown into prison. And if that happens, you surely won't be free again until you have paid the last penny. Jesus is saying, hey, if there's an issue in your heart, I'd rather you leave church right now and go take care of it. There's an issue in your heart towards somebody, go deal with it. You got to get your heart right before you come and offer sacrifices to me. We got God's people coming in here just trying to meet a requirement of what they see is they have to do. And their heart's wrong because they're angry with their brother. Don't come up here, lift your hands and say, I love you, Jesus, while you're still holding offense to someone. Not my words. You got to deal with the issue of the heart. If your heart's wrong, it means nothing to me. That's what Jesus is saying. If your heart's wrong, you've got the bitter root of offense in you. That's poisoning you from the inside out. And he's saying, you need to take care of that poison. And he's saying, I'm here to help you with that. That's why I've come. Some people want to check the box off for having gone to church. I checked it off today. Boy, I did it. I went to church. I tell everybody I went to church this morning. But they leave church with as much anger and hurt in their heart as they walked in with. Why does that happen? Because they miss the purpose of being in God's presence. It's to have a heart change. That's what God does. Let your heart be transformed by Him, which would then not allow you to have that hatred.
Right.
When your heart's changed, you're not in hate. When Jesus comes in your heart, there's not a hate towards his people. You love them. There's a love towards God. But we're wanting to follow the demands from the outward expression. I checked a box. I came to church. So I was praying for our church this morning. I want you to know I was praying this through. And I believe that there are people today that's all you needed to hear. That's all you needed to hear. He's saying, deal with your heart. Come on, there's some offense, there's some things going on, and you're doing everything you can to change everything, but you're looking at it from the outside. And he's saying, today I have come so that you could have life and life abundant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you don't have an abundant life when you're just buried in the root of bitterness.
Right.
You're mad at somebody all the time. You're going to have to give that up. And if you need to take care of it, maybe before you leave church today, it may be someone in here. Don't leave church today with that same anger. Go get rid of that and say, Father, forgive me. And he will, and he does.
Yes, he will.
But you might need to go to someone else and get that taken care of. That root of bitterness, I'm telling you, the enemy loves.
Yeah, he
loves to hold God's people captive. And you've been wondering why I just don't feel like I'm having the abundant life. Maybe this is one of the reasons. Now, we're going to go on and teach more, but I want to end with that today because that's what God had laid on my heart to deliver today to you. There is freedom. There is life in Jesus. And he didn't come to just whoop you. He came to fulfill the law so that you could live at peace with yourself, him, and your brothers.
Thank you for being a part of our podcast today. You will find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There is a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.